What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast, the podcast that tries not to suck sometimes. Today, we're going to interview Grace Watson. She works in the capital of Texas in Austin. She has a lot to say, but today, she's got a bone to pick with government overreach, and I'm just going to let her finish. Let's get toasty. Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. So I just kind of want to talk about your article on government overreach, right? So I guess we can just start with, what is government overreach to you?
Okay. So for me, government overreach is any time that government goes beyond what it is supposed to do, what its inherent role is. So what I believe is that government's primary role is to protect individuals and individual liberties. Basically, I believe that there should only be enough laws in there to keep us from infringing upon each other's rights. So anything that goes beyond that, basically, it should just be there to provide enough of a level of security so that we could operate to our full capacity as beings. So anything that extends beyond that, anytime it becomes a controlling thing that's limiting us from doing something that we should be able to do, that's what government overreach would be to me.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So okay, that lays down the groundwork. So now I would like to, so obviously you were comparing the article because of coronavirus, right?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to know is, like, is there another instance that we can just relate to? You know what I mean? Like, besides coronavirus.
Besides coronavirus. Well, there could be quite a number. You know, if you're a libertarian, I don't personally identify as one, but you know, yeah, if you're a libertarian, then it's basically everything, right?
Right.
So that's just a starter right there. I don't personally identify that way, but I have a lot of friends who do. And so they're like, you know, well, basically everything. You know, I know people who say a driver's license is unconstitutional, and I don't have one way or another on that. But some other instances that I would say that we see government overreach, it can show up in kind of big, scary ways, you know, like with the Patriot Act and FISA, the things that have happened there, just some surveillance that, you know, like a big concept in our society is innocent until proven guilty, right? Surveillance tools that can start seeming like, oh, I'm like guilty till proven innocent. So, you know, that can be, it's something that could be considered an infringement. And basically anytime that there's a law that prevents you from doing something you should be able to do, I think that would constitute as one. You know, one thing that happens a lot at, say, the local level, so say like in cities and counties, there will be ordinances passed, you know, saying something like you can't have more than 6 chickens in your backyard, so to speak, or something like that. And then various other ordinances. One big thing is some cities have tried to pass mandatory paid sick leave ordinances, where even if you're a very small business that can't provide, you know, like say family owned, can't provide all the normal benefits that a larger company would have, there are some instances in which cities have tried to pass mandates requiring those businesses to provide paid sick leave as a benefit for their employees, which of course it's a nice benefit. You know, any of us who work for an organization or a company that lets us have that, you know, we appreciate that as a benefit. But there's a real problem, but there's definitely some costs and things associated with that a lot of these small, like mom and pop businesses aren't quite able to meet. And so instead of allowing them the flexibility to work that out with their employees, there will be, you know, say, like there were ones that they tried to pass in San Antonio and Austin, various other cities around the state and nation, that would just be, you know, mandating basically almost every employer to require that. And that's a big, you know, that's a big step. It's very hard for a small business trying to get off the ground to be forced to require that as a benefit. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to the way, you know, government now forced people to close down. Right. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have or whatever. That's not for me to say. You mentioned surveillance. I kind of wanted to talk about you mentioning the Senate, like extending the vote for different tools they used for TSA.
Yes, and I can't speak a whole lot to that. I tend to work on things that are more at like a local or state level, so that I have a lot of knowledge
Okay.
on on that federal level, but what I can say is that as a matter of principle, you know, a lot of the time what we will hear as sort of an excuse for the government to reach out and do something is like, oh, this is for security, this is to keep you safe. And I don't,
like coronavirus, exactly.
You know, like mandatory face coverings, things like that. And it's not that I think that you shouldn't be able, like, I think if you want to wear a face mask, you should. Like, you know, I have parents that are in the age range for that. And so I tried to be cautious when I was staying with them, you know, during quarantine. I left the city, went out to hang out with them for a while, and I tried to be careful about that. But it's not something that the government should mandate you doing. So sometimes I think a lot of the unnecessary regulations or ordinances and things that we'll see is done in the name of keeping us safe, right? But it's not, I don't think that it's the government's primary responsibility to keep me safe. I think it's their job to keep me free and, yes, provide for the common defense, as in, you know, keep a foreign army from invading. But you shouldn't be, you know, like, for instance, if they outlaw, this is an extreme example, if they outlawed high heels because I might, like, roll my ankle or something, like, that would be a ridiculous amount of overreaching. Right. And we don't see something that ridiculous, but
no, we don't.
But it's all relative.
Okay, yeah, I guess I, along the same lines, I wonder how we would react as Americans then if it wasn't for, you know, a safety reason, right? Because there's obviously got to be some other things we may not even know about that are laws being passed or something like that that would infringe on our rights, quote unquote. And I just think that we react differently in emergency situations. And I think that's what the government can maybe take advantage of. I don't know.
I think so.
So I think all this is good. I kind of just want to know what it might look like for us like now, because I haven't heard. I mean, we were talking about COVID-19 for a while and, you know, it kind of got pushed aside, of course, in the mainstream media. But what's happening? Do you know what's happening now at a local level? Are they still worried about it, or what's going on with that?
So the city of Austin had, you know, there's various cities that have put out, you know, like shelter in place orders and things like that. The city of Austin had extended theirs through June 15th. Obviously, that was very much ignored over this past weekend.
Yeah, right.
With the protests, I haven't heard of a spike in cases or anything, but that's, you know, that's definitely, like, things are opening up. And then, so I was actually listening to a Facebook live stream by the city of Austin, and the mayor was talking about how, you know, because of some things that Governor Abbott did, the mayor is now, he's like, well, we're no longer able to force multi-killing and fines for people who don't follow orders, coverings, things and things like that. And so he said, and now the penalty is that some of us will get sick and some of us will die. And that's pretty much verbatim what he said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a little bit extreme, but it just kind of goes to show you, you know, and that is an extreme example. But it does just go to show you how, you know, they will, and maybe sometimes it comes from a good place and genuinely wanting to protect, but also I think sometimes, you know, we hear absolute power corrupts absolutely, and typically anytime an entity has power, they extend it and they want more of it. And so then we have ridiculous ordinances getting passed down to things that are limiting people when clearly most people are wanting to get out, open the economy back up, go back to work, and, you know, just be out and about. So it's still a problem. It's still a problem that is there.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to end up being like something where they, you know, just keep using that same power because they already did, or is it ever going to be let go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't heard of another instance where we shut down everything in county by county. I haven't. I don't, obviously, I'm not that old, but it's, I just don't know if they're just going to keep having that on the retainer now. You know what I mean?
Right, because we've set that precedent for it now. And so now people are kind of used to the idea of having to shut down and stay home, you know, and some people question it, some people don't. And so it is a little bit scary to me to start thinking like, okay, so is this going to be our normal now? Whenever something bad happens, is it just going to be like, okay, everybody stay home, you know,
Yeah,
is
and
that
we're all
how
just
it's going to be? Because apparently that was within the realm of possibility. We didn't know it was, but apparently it was. And
yeah, I don't see how, I didn't expect, yeah, no one expected anyone to like follow suit with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't even know if the government expected us to follow suit with it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like forced. Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very strange thing. And it's kind of like, you know, with this, which it is a bad virus. It is for sure. It's, you know, it is transmissible. It's definitely something that should be approached with caution. But, you know, we can't just, anytime there's a, you know, new bug going around, so to speak, it doesn't make sense to just shut everything down because, you know, we may be recovering from the economic drop for years. I don't know what that's going to look
like.
I mean,
yeah, that's the next thing is like, what does the future hold for our economy because of it? Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure, the markets are kind of recovering, but I don't know about the actual companies. You know what I mean?
Right. There's a lot of small town, small businesses here in Austin that I frequent pretty regularly. And some of my favorite places have had to shut down completely. So not even, we'll reopen,
right,
as soon as everything's back to normal, but, there's no way we're going to be able to make ends meet now. We're not going to reopen. And every time you see a small business like that close, that's, you know, not only are you not able to go there anymore as a patron, but that's at least several jobs each time.
Well,
and now they have to.
People believe that like small businesses are the backbone of the economy. You know what I mean? Some people, and that's, what are you going to do? You know? And I mean, the same thing's happening to theaters, like big theaters, like AMC themselves they're running out of cash.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it. And it's very, on their last earnings call, they talked about how they make, like have bankruptcy. So it's just like government bailouts can't just help everybody. You know, that can't happen. So I'm just interested to see exactly what I said earlier, like future as far as are there emergencies that pop up, you know, because I mean, what if they're making up stuff and they just decide, you know what, we made this up so that you guys can stay home. I don't know. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist guy, but it just seems like they can use this as the scapegoat, and I don't like that.
Exactly.
I mean, is anyone else talking about that at your job? Well, first of all, like, where do you work? Just to get that laid down.
So I work for an organization. It's called sure, exactly. So I work for an organization that's called the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And basically what it is, it's a policy think tank. So my job mostly involves a lot of reading and writing, essentially,
right,
which I love. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I really enjoy that. And so it's, there are a lot of people here. We're very liberty focused here. We very much believe in the principles of individual responsibility and there's a lot of focus on what the role of government actually is, which is, you know, like what I stated earlier, the role of government exists to, you know, provide the capacity for individuals to be able to exercise their freedom, you know, as long as they're not infringing upon anyone else. So there are a lot of people, I think, who are really thinking about this and really reevaluating it. Just at a personal level, you know, I see a lot of, and it's kind of interesting who it will end up being. It's not always who you'll expect, but even just like among my friends, it's sort of interesting to see, you know, who comes out being on the side of, hey, we should trust the government and follow everything they tell us to do. And the other people who are like, I'm starting to question this now. But then in terms of what I do, so I work at the foundation. I've worked primarily on local government issues. I've started reaching out to some other policy areas as well. But yes, we have a lot of articles and some research. There's been different, we've published a lot of op-eds on the COVID topic recently. We try to stay, you know, current and up to date with what's going on in the minds of Texans and Americans in general. But yes, there is a lot of dialogue about it happening. Of course, I live in Austin. It's the capital of Texas. And, you know, for the past 18 months or so, I changed career paths and I've been in the political, I worked for a state representative at the Capitol for the legislative session. And now I've been working over here at a policy think tank. So of course, my bubble, there's always dialogue going on in it here, but there are a lot of people talking about it and a lot of people thinking about it. And, you know, I think, and again, this is my personal opinion. I'm just speaking, you know, for me, not as an organization, but my personal opinion is that, you know, there's kind of a line drawn in the sand right now in our nation. It is getting increasingly polarized, which isn't good, but that's kind of how it is. And I think on a lot of these issues, you know, we would like to exist outside of a, you know, a two-view system, but a lot of the time there's kind of one view or another view. Do you think the government should be able to do this or not? And people are starting to end up on one side or the other.
Yeah, and they may not even know it, honestly. They'll just say what they're mm-hmm. saying, and they're like, oh, I guess I trust the government. Turns out, you know? And I don't know, man. It's like we're right on election year, and, mm-hmm. you know, this might actually just sway some people as far as, like, which side they're on. I mean, how do you see that going? What is going to happen when we get to, you know, election season this year? Are we going to be able to, like, go outside? All right, Toasters, it's that time again. I don't often get the chance to tell you how I got started, and honestly, I don't want to bore you with the entire story. Actually, if you want that, you can check out my website at skyfi.co. One of the main things that made it super easy to get into podcasting for me, though, is Blueberry. Blueberry is absolutely one of the best podcast hosting services around, and it's priced cheaper than most of them, even Podbean. The fact is, a host is normally just a host. But Blueberry is more than that, because they created a stellar WordPress plugin that makes it as simple as writing a blog post to upload and distribute your latest and greatest episodes. How awesome is that? I don't want to ruin the recipe, so I won't go too far into the details, but I think you get it. If you've ever wanted to get yourself out there and start podcasting or creating new exciting content, now's the time. The hardest part is actually starting, and trust me, I get that. Hit me up with any questions you might have on podcasting at my email listed in the show notes. Peace, love, and podcasting. Now, back to the show.
I know. That's a big thing. Like, one thing, and again, this is just my personal conjecture. I think it will be interesting to see if there's a surge in COVID cases again in the fall. Back with the Spanish flu epidemic, you know, over a century ago, it kind of started getting bad, you know, around late spring or so, I believe. I'm not sure the exact dates on things, but I was reading about it a couple months ago when this was all beginning. Right. At least, well, not beginning in the world, but beginning to affect us here in a very direct way. And, you know, it got bad then during the summer. It kind of, you know, it went down a little bit. And then in the fall of that year, it came back in a terrible way. So, yeah. You know, I hope and pray that's not what happens with this virus, but I think that could be a factor in it. But, you know, American voters in November, and not only with the presidential election, but also at the congressional level as well, because I believe all seats in the House of Representatives are going to be up, and roughly a third in the Senate. And, you know, of course, it matters who we have in the Oval Office, who's going to be there at the executive level. But it also matters, you know, in all the seats legislatively. That's going to matter, too. And I think there's a lot. We've learned how much can happen in just 2 months. You know, everything from Tiger King to murder hornets to a plague to riots in every city across the nation. Like, we've learned that a lot can go down in a short amount of time. And, you know,
I think that has to do with information and the way we can get mm-hmm. information so quickly now. You know what I mean? The right. stock market went like mm-hmm. plummeted, but it's coming back up now pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, if I think back to 2007 and 2008, if it plummeted 40%, it's not coming back for a while mm-hmm. because it was more based on the economy back then, which luckily it shouldn't be, and it's separating. Anyway, I get you. Yeah, murder hornets, like, what the heck is that? You know, and it's just we have so much stuff being piled on us, and I think Americans just kind of – I don't know. I just want a solid answer for something, you know what I mean? And it's mm-hmm. not happening.
No, it's not. It's very hard, you know. And then another way that we can see this, like, idealistic dichotomy that exists in our nation now, you know, it's kind of like, now if you listen to the mainstream media, people who don't will call you a sheep, and then if you listen to anything else that's not the mainstream media, well, you're kind of labeled a conspiracy theorist. And I think that is a hard thing. It's hard to know where to find truth, because we know inherently, there's even a scripture that says the simple believes all he hears. So it's like, we know, it's ingrained in us that, you know, not everything I hear can be true. So what is the truth? And I think that's going to be something that's, you know, hopefully going to become a big hunger for people, because they're going to start hearing all these different narratives, seeing how what they're hearing in one place doesn't match up with what they're seeing in the real world. And people are going to be, I think there really are a lot of people. There's some people who I think just kind of go along with the mainstream, get mad with the latest hashtag and whatever. You know, I'm even guilty of that in my past. I used to, when I was a bit younger, I kind of would fall into that trap. And now now it takes a lot of, wisdom and discernment. And sometimes it is just hard to figure out what the answers are.
Yeah. I mean, I just sit back, relax and see what happens at the end. Cause I mean, at the end, maybe we'll have something solid. You know what I mean? My only thing too is that how late we are to the party as far as coronavirus goes and everything else. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think there was an avoidance on how we were going to apply our stay at home orders, I guess. I just don't like that it had to happen, because now, like I said earlier, you know, it could happen at any point. Tomorrow we could wake up and they're like, there's a new something and we got to stay at home. I don't know. Government overreach is like a sore subject for some people, just because they maybe don't believe it at all. Like they don't think, they think it's correct. They think everything the government does is right. And you know, they're allowed to do whatever they want kind of thing. And that's just not how it goes. It's true.
You know, when you watch, you know, you may watch an old movie or something, and there's always some character that's like, well, there ought to be a law about this. Or, you know, maybe you've heard people say, well, there ought to be a law, but it's like, and yes, there are problems that can be fixed by laws and that can be fixed legitimately by laws, you know, in accordance with my personal worldview. But sometimes a problem starts in the private world and it should be resolved in the private world. You know, we don't have to have, just because there's a problem doesn't mean that it's the government's responsibility to address it.
There you go. Yeah. And you know, me and Matt, one of my friends, were just talking about this last night. He's a political science major. He was saying, I actually can't remember the guy, but he basically laid out in Texas in like 1890 something or whatever. He was like, you guys don't need a bailout. I don't even have the authority to do that. Handle it on your own. And it was a drought in Texas that was happening. And farmers were like, private farmers were, you know, obviously their crops were dying. They couldn't do it. And so he was just like, well, you guys got to handle it. So, I mean, it's like, it's a hard truth, I guess, but some things are, you know, meant for us to handle. And
it's true.
The softer we become as a nation, as far as that goes, the worse that'll get, I think, you know, I mean, that's just the nature, I think. And, you know, there seems to be like this cycle that happens every like decades or whatever. I don't know how many it takes, but you have the men that go to war, and that's the nation. And then now we have, you know, decent peace. That's not there. We don't have war or anything happening really. And, you know, people might just get used to that, you know, and they think, you know, life's good, and we'll bring up the small problems that we had, you know, and everything else and make them big problems. But anyway, so what do you think? So I've heard people talk about, just the coronavirus and, you know, China and all that stuff. Are you have any thoughts on that kind of stuff? Or do you think it all is legitimate? Like it all came up and, you know, it's a normal virus that no one caused, that kind of thing.
I've heard, you know, of course there's mixed things that you can hear about that. And again, you know, there's always the risk of sounding like a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not an IR pro or anything like that. But you know, just based on some people whose opinion that I really respect, you know, I have heard that the virus itself isn't something, and I'm not an epidemiologist. You know, I was a liberal arts and humanities kid. I work on policy because I can read and write, you know, science is a bit more of a struggle for me. But you know, there are some people who do know about these kinds of things whose opinion that I really respect. And I have heard that the virus is such that it's not something that normally occurs in nature, that it did. You know, there are some people who are credible people who believe that it did leak, so to speak, from a place in Wuhan, and it just kind of went all over the place after that. And so it's kind of like, well, maybe the danger then is not so much this particular bug, but, you know, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that could potentially leak? But, you know, again, that's not something that I'm a professional on. I do think that if anything, it does lead us to realize that, you know, I think there is a level of concern that needs to be here. Maybe not as much about COVID itself, though certainly if you have immune issues or if you're in that age bracket or, you know, older age bracket or whatever, you know, take caution. But I think the bigger threat here might be we might just really kind of need to pay close attention to China. Just, I think there's maybe a lot that we don't know. And I think we just, it does seem a little strange that, you know, we were able to trace it back to one region in China and then suddenly it was all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is something. And again, I'm speaking for myself personally, just my own personal opinion.
Right.
I do think that that's something to be looked into.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of crap coming out of, you know, everyone that might think a conspiracy or whatever, but it does. I think the bottom line might be that, you know, just we got to pay close attention to other big powers of the world. And I think China is really close to second or tying with, you know, us as far as that goes. So for all we know, I guess maybe CIA is on it. I don't know. You know, obviously we don't know that. So
right. There's a lot of things we don't know.
Right.
We don't know what we don't know. And then human nature, we're always looking for truth and answers, right? We've already referenced that. So sometimes we can get a little crazy when we try to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And everything. And it can be hard to be objective when we have our own suspicions and things, you know, filtered in there. But I think a lot of, and then this is something that's been a lot on my mind, you know, especially after seeing all the, you know, mayhem, especially over the weekend and even now continuing some into the week here in Austin, there's still some protests going on, nowhere near the level of violence and intensity, fortunately, that they were at over the weekend, but there's still some protests going on. And, you know, I think people are upset, you know, and sometimes for very legitimate reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, and it can get so, I actually deleted my social media apps off my phone for a week.
Right.
Because I was just kind of like, I don't see how this is helping. We're continuing, you know, it's like with the issue that happened over this weekend, it's like it's pitting people against each other who don't need to be against each other. You know, I think we can all agree that racism is wrong, police brutality is wrong, and then we need to figure out what is the best way to address it. And I think, you know, in the midst of any kind of disaster that happens, whether it's COVID, whether it's that, I think a lot of it is just going to entail us just, you know, acting reasonably and acting in consideration of others in our own lives and just trying to be individually responsible. Sorry, I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but
it has to do with the same ideas. I mean, it's it's government overreach, but it's law enforcement, I guess, technically overreach. I don't know. But you're right. There maybe is some reform that needs to happen somewhere or something needs to change as far as a solution goes. But, you know, violence is never the answer. And that is one of my opinions, but it definitely, I just think that I hold true to that. Violence is not the answer. So, protests are legitimate. They might be necessary, but there needs to be talk about what we're going to do now, you know, the solution now. If it's brought to light and it's a problem and everyone agrees it's a problem, then we can all agree there should be a solution to that too.
Exactly. And a lot of the time what has happened with these, I think sometimes in whenever there's a whole bunch of frenzy, you tend to see human nature displayed in its very worst forms, you know, and I think most of us have seen videos of terrible things happening that wouldn't have happened if there hadn't been protests and weren't officially part of protests, but still happened, you know, so it hasn't all been, you know, defacement of government property or anything, which I don't condone. I don't think that's the answer. But there's been, you know, like I've seen videos of people basically about to storm like a family owned pizza place, you know, and things like that, you know, it just individuals infringing upon other individuals and their private property. And that is for sure not right.
Right. It's interesting how it's playing out. It's just like a virus. You know what I mean? I mean,
exactly.
Really it spreads and you know, the animals come out of us basically. So have you seen anything like on, so you know how Canada, right? They're throwing new laws in that basically take away guns and everything else.
Right.
They're like our next door neighbor. Do you have, I mean, I know they're not necessarily the same type of government at all, but is there any instance in history where any neighbor countries have like pushed any agendas on neighboring countries? Does that even happen? Is that
Well,
possible?
World War II, I would say, people just, they would went in and took over the next neighboring country and so on and so forth. I think that is something that can happen. My personal take is that here, I don't know that it would necessarily be, the I don't think it's necessarily stemming from one particular country and their views or the people in power there, their views. I think it has a lot more to do with personal philosophy. I think that's where the danger would be here. I think that, kind of at the what I've said before is that you can learn a lot about a person and their political views just by asking them what they believe the role of government is, what responsibilities it should fulfill, and to what degree it should be able to carry out those responsibilities. And a lot of the time, that how you answer that also shows how you view human nature and personal responsibility. So I
Interesting.
think, and that can you can learn a lot about what a person thinks by the way they answer those questions. How do you view human nature? What do you believe the individual's responsibility is versus what, an authority, specifically a governmental authority's answer is. So to me, the danger wouldn't necessarily be from another nation like Canada, imposing their views upon us. It would be more like, the wrong philosophy coming up from within, which is definitely there in our nation. There's a lot of people who are leaning toward a more socialistic line of thought, which I think is very dangerous long term. I think for some people it doesn't, I don't think it's coming from a bad place necessarily on an individual to individual basis, but there are definitely dangers with that view. And if you partake in a view that allows for socialism, so to speak, that's a very poor understanding of human nature, because we are, as individuals, we have a natural desire when it's not taken away from us. We have a natural desire to, go out, build your own homestead, do your own thing. And it's good for us to have obstacles, and it's good for us to have difficulties, and it's good for us to not have every single thing provided for us, because it's far more empowering to, realize that you have the dignity and you have the power yourself to, go after the pursuit of happiness, so to
Right.
speak.
Interesting. All right, Toasters, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That's got to be one of the best guests I've had on the show so far. Next week, I hope you guys tune in again for another Toasty podcast. Until then, like, share, subscribe, and as always, stay toasty. Toasty.